This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
Put your top back on afterwards. Don't keep them separate. So lids, trigger sprays, pump sprays. We recycle plastics in their entirety. So keep your top on. We can recycle the whole lot. Don't put them in separate. The bottle lids are too small to be identified in the recycling process.
Oh my God.
It needs to be attached to the bottle.
Welcome back to season two of the Tread Lightly podcast. If you thought season one was just about recycling, hugging trees, think again, because this time we're taking things up a notch, talking about everything from how community shapes our planet to why faith might just have something to say about the environment, and even digging into the quirks of human behaviour.
I think we all realised quite quickly that the environmental conversation is way too big to keep simple. So we're diving in headfirst at the deep end. Buckle in, because this season we're going to get real. Let's go.
Let's do this. In this episode, we get to chat to Julia Heath and Stevie Hunt, who are both environmental behaviour change officers at Medway Council that work within the environmental team.
So improving recycling rates is a key priority for Medway Council as they're striving to create a cleaner and more sustainable environment for residents. They want to help improve our recycling efforts and aim to reduce the amount of waste that is sent to refills to help us conserve valuable resources. Have a good listen. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello and welcome back to this podcast, where we are so excited because in the studio today we have Julia and we have Stevie from Medway Councils. Tell me your team. I get so confused.
So we work for the environmental services team.
Boom. That's it.
And
but you've got new job titles, haven't you?
We have, yeah. So I'm now the recycling behaviour change officer.
And I'm the environmental behaviour change officer, which is very exciting.
The behaviour change piece is really interesting, isn't it? That's new to your job titles, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So for us, it's really important that people accept behaviour does need to be changed, and we're there to help influence and guide people through their behaviour changes. So we're not asking for anything radical. We're not asking for anything revolutionary. We're just helping people to access the service that's already there and to help people understand why it's important and how to use it efficiently.
Love it. Let's roll back a little bit.
Gosh.
Let's roll back, because we want to know a bit more about kind of you guys first.
Okay. So tell us, Stevie, how the heck did you end up doing eco stuff for the council? Tell us a bit about you and how you ended up there.
Okay. Well, I've worked for Medway Council for coming up to 9 years now. Prior to that, I worked for Medway Police. I then had my first child and then decided to jump over to Medway Council in a really similar role, which was community based. So I used to be community warden, and then the roles, both our roles, came up 5 years ago, and it sounded really interesting and really fun, and all about working with the community and schools and interest groups. And we both really enjoy just talking to people. Anyone that will listen to us, we'll talk to them. Talk their ears off.
I think it really shows, because we have met you several times, and each and every time that we've met with you, you've been just happy and joyous and helpful. And I don't think that people necessarily have that expectation when they're meeting somebody from the council. They think, oh, it's going to be really stuffy and they're going to be with all this jargon. And you two are the most normal, everyday people that we meet. So what about you, Julia? How did you?
Thank you.
That's all right. Take that and put it in your pocket.
I will take that. So I ended up, I've worked for Medway Council for over 18 years now. So I've been here a really long time.
Wowzers.
Really long time. So I started when I was 25 and I was on the phones, answering the phones in the call centre when we first started off. And that was a really good grounding for me to understand the full range of services that the council, that they provide. So it was a bit of an eye-opener. And then within 2 years, I then worked in the waste team, moved over to deal with waste. But for me, I felt a little bit like a square peg in a round hole, because although waste and its disposal is interesting, that's not my passion. I'm far more interested in using waste as a resource rather than disposing of waste. Okay. So for me, the environmental aspect is where my passion lies. So when this opportunity became available 5 years ago, that's when I jumped at the chance to get involved.
So did it stay within the waste team? So you were still within the waste team, but looking more from an environmental perspective.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly that. So that's when I took on this role. That was 5 years ago. But prior to that, and as Stevie said, we're very much customer facing and all about speaking to people, working in the community and meeting people directly. That's for us, the best part of our jobs. Stevie had the police background, but for me, I had a more of a entertainment background, working as a red coat at Butlins. So,
no, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So I've always been quite happy to be in front of large groups of people.
I know you like talking. I didn't know that's because you're a red coat.
Yeah,
that is super cool.
That was my past life, but that has stood me in good stead for this job, because we speak to people all the time, sometimes groups of hundreds of people, particularly if we're in schools or community events. We need to speak to a lot of people en masse, so we're more than happy to do that. Probably me more so than Stevie.
How do people come to you and say, our collective group want to hear about Medway Council's involvement with waste? What tends to be the hook that gets people to ask that of you?
There are several routes. It depends who wants to speak to us. If it's schools, we're generally helping schools to either tackle littering in the environment, understand the effects of littering and how to reduce and combat that. For adult groups, they're more interested in accessing how the service we provide works, how to get the best out of the service. Quite often, people don't always realise the full breadth of what we do provide on a weekly basis. So we are more than happy to speak to anybody, either a small group or a large group, and educate them and hopefully influence them in tweaking their behaviours to get the best out of the service we provide.
So you can call yourself an influencer?
We call ourselves the Binfluencers.
Oh, that is our quiz name as well. We enjoy the quizzing outside.
Yeah, that is our quiz team name, the Binfluencers.
Oh my God, we've just titled the podcast, haven't we?
Kaylee's literally gobsmacked.
Binfluencers.
Binfluencers.
I don't have this. You have this humour where you can come up with quick-witted things like that. It takes me a while to process. Now I get it.
There you go.
I'm just on the go, so that's what it is. So you're obviously, both of you have said, like, the best thing that you love is about going out, meeting with people and engaging with your community and all that sort of stuff. But what is it that you love about that in particular? Like, is it that you get to just meet a whole load of different people? Is it that you get to be able to share the knowledge that other people are saying, I want to learn this? So what is it? What is it that you enjoy doing?
It is all of those things. Yeah. But for me, my absolute favourite part is seeing a penny drop. Mm. When you explain something to someone, you say, this is the reason we do something, and just seeing that penny drop and go, oh, that makes sense to
me.
I will do that.
Can you give us an example of when someone's gone, oh my God, where you hadn't realised that they didn't necessarily understand and you've helped put things in place?
Yeah, so my absolute favourite topic of conversation is the recycling of food waste. Mm-hmm. We often quite often find that people maybe don't even realise that food waste recycling is a thing. So you have a brown bin in your garden and people genuinely have no idea that you can put food in there.
What do they think can go in there? Kind of,
they think it's just for garden waste.
Garden waste, okay.
Which is true, it is for garden waste, but you can mix your food in it. I'm sure you already know that, but not everyone does. So seeing that penny drop moment is always a really nice thing. And for people to realise that all waste, but particularly food waste, is a resource. It's not a waste. We don't want it to be wasted. We can make something really useful and valuable from it. So instead of it going to waste in a black sack where it's going to be incinerated, we can make compost from that.
Compost from it.
Exactly. Yeah. And for people to realise that actually it's a resource, it's not rubbish, it's useful.
And I wonder whether that helps people as well, because I think this environmental space can be a bit punishing sometimes, can't it? And you can have a lot of time where you're drawn to what you're not doing well enough and the mistakes you make and the things you could do better. And food waste is kind of often held up as an example of all this wasted food and it's terrible. And I think you can kind of beat yourself up about not using up last week's leftovers and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I guess those kind of conversations mean that it stops being so punishing to be like, yeah, these things happen, but this is at least plan B that's pretty good.
Exactly. And we would always encourage people to start small. It can be a bit daunting starting something new for the first time. And I would never want anyone to feel bad if they haven't tried it or they find it a little bit overwhelming. We'd say, start small. Just start small. If you don't want to go full on with your food waste, start recycling tea bags or start recycling banana skins or things that you think, okay, I can do that. That's not daunting. I can put that in a brown bin. That's not a problem. And before you realise it, you're in a new habit. Your behaviour's changed and you become in the mindset of doing it so regularly, you don't even think about it after a while.
And there is resources out there to help people, because I think one of the barriers. It's people think that food waste smells and it makes a brown bin dirty and things like that. But, you know, we have caddy bins and caddy liners that you can collect from any local library. And that helps contain the food waste in your brown bin, so it keeps it cleaner. And it just encourages more people to do the right thing and recycle their food waste. And it's just handy when you're peeling your spuds in your kitchen. You've got your small little caddy there and it can just go straight in there, and it's convenient. And you can carry it out to your brown bin. And people really appreciate that and are more likely to do it.
From a learning perspective, is there any food you can't recycle?
Nope.
Nothing.
Raw.
No, anything.
Because I used moldy, to think, I think anything. I asked you this the first time I met you. I didn't know that you could put like carcass, like a chicken carcass or like
meat, fish, bones, raw like cooked, we don't mind.
And what? Raw plugs?
No.
What?
Raw.
Raw food.
Raw food.
I was like, whoa.
Raw. Did it sound like that? I thought you said raw plugs, but you can put your raw plugs
in. Yeah, don't put that in.
Please note, you do not put raw plugs in a brown bin.
But raw food, absolutely fine.
I didn't know you put meat in. Yes. I thought you were going to say you can't put bread in.
Bread's fine.
What about oil?
Yeah. So what we would recommend, if you've got, say, cooking fat that's come from animal fat.
Yeah.
I would wait for it to be solidified before scraping it into your brown bin.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's going to get quite
messy. Oh, it still can go in?
Yeah.
And what it's about a natural product. Vegetable oil, though?
Fine.
Wait, you can just put that in
Mix
as well.
It in. But personally, I wouldn't put it in my brown bin.
Where would you put it?
A different use for that.
Tell me.
So the oil that you have, say, left in a frying pan after you've cooked a fried egg, bacon, something like that, you've still got a oily residue in the bottom. I personally keep it on the hob, mix in some porridge oats. Let it absorb the fat. You've made yourself a fat ball for the birds in the garden.
Gosh. All right, Greta, you're good at this.
That is cool.
But it absorbs the fat, so you're not getting oily residue all over the place. So it becomes quite clean once the porridge oats have absorbed it. Super cheap to do.
That is a really
super
good idea.
Super cheap to do. And then you're feeding the birds in your garden.
I did ask that with a personal interest because...
Just wondering, Julia.
Just wondering. Because my son made... He really wanted to make his own triple dunk chips. Ooh. Now, we don't have an air fryer because I'm not an 80s mum. But...
Hang on, do you mean a deep fat fryer?
Yeah, do you remember? Do you remember when everyone used to have a
chip
deep fat
pan?
Fryer?
Yeah.
I love those chips. I absolutely
What, so you dunk them and then like wait for them to come out and then go again?
Dry them, go again and then go again. So he made us a dinner. I can't remember. It might have been for his dad's birthday or something, or Mother's Day. I don't know. He made a dinner and it was triple dunk chips. But obviously he needed a big old like pot of oil. And now I'm sat with this oil. And I don't know what to do with it, but
mix it with some oats.
Mix it with oats. Chuck some porridge oats in.
Yeah, I'd do it gradually. I mean, if you've got huge amounts of oil,
I have got a ton.
You're going to end up with an enormous amount of bird food. But yeah, do it gradually.
Well, this is the time though, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
because they're out there like
feeding. They've got their fledglings
chicks
out there.
Okay.
Can I ask another question? Because I got bought a wormery for my Christmas present.
Oh, here we go. Look at this, a Q&A.
This is becoming a bit personal. It's not for public interest. It's just for me and Kaylee to ask our questions. And in the wormery, you got given a little substrate and like some worms, and then they kind of, because we didn't want to put it in our compost because... did not attract rats, and because we live up some steps, I just couldn't be asked to walk up and down some steps to go to my brown bin. So the little wormery outside my kitchen seemed to be kind of a good option for our scraps. But that says no bread, and it says no. What else does it say? No.
The worms don't like bread.
Yeah, no things like potatoes and onions and things like that. Okay. So what's the difference between that going in the brown bin and why can't my worms have that?
I don't know specifically why the worms can't have it, but I can tell you why we want it.
Why does that help then? Because that then leaves me thinking that you can't put that in a brown bin because that doesn't make compost. Is that wrong then?
So it can go in a brown bin, but we're going to treat it completely differently to the way your worms are making compost. Okay. It's going to be done on an industrial scale. So it gets taken to a facility called Envar in Cambridgeshire. It's like an enormous warehouse where the food waste and garden waste mixed together is heated. It'll get heated for a number of weeks and turned within that facility, and it will kill all the pathogens and nasty things that are in there. And because it's done on an industrial scale, we can have any kind of food waste.
That, stuff.
Yeah,
okay,
that we can
sense.
Have anything. So that's why bones are absolutely fine.
Okay.
We can even have mixed fibre in there. And by that, I mean things like shredded paper. Uh-huh. So if you've got some confidential waste, that can be mixed in with your food and your garden waste, and things like oily pizza boxes.
Pizza boxes.
Yeah,
when
absolutely
you told
fine.
Me that, I was like, oh my gosh. But this is so helpful because I'm learning so much different stuff. And then it says you can't put, you know, from a home composting point of view, a wormery point of view and a brown bin point of view, you get different information and yeah. then you get confused, don't you? And so you try your best at home, but even then you kind of yeah. go, oh, I thought now you can't do potatoes and onions, but you can.
But we can, yeah, yeah, because it's done in an industrial way. So we're not just relying on small worms to treat it. We're doing it on a big, big scale.
Yeah.
So we can cope with bigger amounts and a wider variety of waste.
And so. Can the council take money from that, or does it cost money to go to the...
It costs
rather than you make money from the compost.
Yeah, so it costs more money to dispose of black sack waste and residual waste than it does for recycling. So it is a benefit to us to recycle more because then it costs us less money.
And I guess then people who live in Medway, it costs them in the long run... less in their council tax bills if we get better at recycling.
But also there is a direct financial saving for people to recycle their food waste because they're using their brown bin, which is supplied by Medway Council free of charge. If you're putting food in a black sack, you have to purchase those as a consumer. So if you're not putting food in a black sack, you're not buying as many of them, which is better for your pocket. It's better for the environment. And food not being in a black sack also means that foxes and cats and what have you aren't going to attack it on bin day because there is no food for them to scavenge in the first place. It's contained within the brown bin. So for us, it is a win-win across the board.
Because that is one of the things, isn't it? If you go onto any Facebook group up and down the country, they'll always go, black sacks, all ripped up on bin day. But yeah, you're right. Kind of putting that food waste into your brown bin kind of solves that a little bit.
Are you tired of the same old chat about saving the planet? You know, like the reduce, reuse, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's time to shake things up because season two of the Tread Lightly podcast is here and we're diving deeper than your recycling bin.
This season, we're talking about community, faith, and yes, even why humans behave so weirdly sometimes when it comes to conversations about the environment.
Oh my gosh, they do. But there's no boring lectures here. So just real talk, tough questions and a little bit of banter along the way because let's face it, we all need to lighten up when we're trying to save the planet, right?
So if you're ready to stop tiptoeing around some of the big environmental stuff, get real and join the conversations. Come Tread Lightly with us.
Catch season two of the Tread Lightly podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, like now. I always learn something new every time we come and chat with you. So it makes me think, the gurus of all this stuff, where do you learn from? And like, who do you look at and you're like, oh yeah, they're doing some cool stuff?
We look at other councils, don't we? We network, we work really well with our neighbouring Kent councils as well.
Oh, you do, you've got a good partnership.
Yeah, we've got a really good partnership. So, you know, we brainstorm together, we visit each other and we have meetings. And it's lovely collaborative working because we all have the same end goal. It's not competition. It's let's work together and let's get the same end goal. So we do that. You know, we learn through
via webinars, industry-led webinars. We go to conferences. So our learning is broad. And as Stevie says, we're not in competition with other councils. We have all got the same end goal. So we work collaboratively as much as possible because we've all got the same ambition.
And outside of council stuff, do you learn, is this, so I'm a bit of a geek, right, at the minute. I'm like so kind of like tunneled vision. Liz will like not roll her eyes because she's a nice person. But I like, when I learn something new and I'm really interested in it, I'm like, I need to absorb it. I'm like a sponge. I need to like soak it all up. Are you geeking out on this sort of stuff?
Yes.
And are you like...
Oh, the CV face. She's like, yes.
So whenever we go on holiday anywhere, even if it's within the country or outside the country. So I was in Northern Ireland last week and I was in an apartment and we had a bin store and they had lovely bin stickers on and bin posters. So I was taking photos and sending it back to the team whilst I was on holiday. Yeah. That is really good.
I love that your eyes light up at the thought of you being a waste geek. But it's nothing to be ashamed of. You're proud of it. I love that.
We love reading stories to see what other people are doing, what's worked really well, when you think, oh. So we don't nick ideas, we recycle ideas.
We do recycle ideas.
You are so good.
You are full of the recycling puns.
But it is so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's so interesting. And we like to go to visit where our waste and recycling ends up as well. And that's fascinating.
Yeah,
and they do open days. So it's...
You'll have to let us know when they have an open day because I think it'd be good for us to be able to share with other people.
It is fascinating.
Can I ask a question? So you kind of gather your learning from all over the place, but your job role is to influence and help people learn and understand and change their behaviours. What methods have you got to help busy, overwhelmed, time-poor people to understand how to recycle properly, how to get the most out of the services that the council provide? How do you bring that learning to the mass audience?
We use a variety of channels. So we've got our website, Medway Council website. We've got our own Facebook and Twitter. It's not called Twitter anymore. X pages. So we have that. We have our newsletter, which we send out every month. We go to events. So we have pop-up events that we advertise in our newsletter. We go anywhere we're invited. So if we get places like here, we love to turn up and talk about recycling. We'll go to schools. We go to adult groups. We will spread that word any way we can. We sometimes turn up in supermarkets and shopping centres where we will spread the word. So we try to be as accessible as possible, and we're very happy to go and meet people in public. But you're right, people are busy and people do have lives where maybe it's not the most important thing in the world to them, and they've got other things to think about, and we totally appreciate that. We're all working parents, and and it can be really hard. So I would always say, don't beat yourself up. You know, every day is a new day, every day is a learning day, and start small. So if you've not done it before and you think, do you know what, I think I might like to give it a go, just start small and then build on it, because we don't want to overwhelm anybody. That's not in our interest. Mm-hmm. And we don't want anyone to feel that it's inaccessible. We just want to help people on their recycling journey and support them through it.
I think if they can just start with, say, one type of recycling and do one small step, that's better than nothing at all.
Where does it get complicated then? So you put your paper in, for example, if you just say, I'm just going to recycle my newspapers. Mm-hmm. What on that journey would you say does it start getting? I know what I think, but what do you guys think in terms of when does it get
confusing? I think people get very confused with plastics.
Okay.
Because some are recyclable, some are not recyclable, some are done at the curbside, some are not. And I think people can find that terrifying. And I think people are worried about not doing the right thing. So to avoid doing the wrong thing, they'll put it in a black sack. Okay. Because you know that's going to get collected. You can't go wrong if it's in a black sack, because it will go and you'll never have to think about it again.
Have you got like a 101 of like, so if you're getting a bit overwhelmed by like plastic recycling, and I would agree, have you got some basic principles that you can just start to put in your head when you think through plastic?
So on our website, we have an A to Z. So it's a really good place to go to if you're not sure on the type of product. On all of our bins, there are graphics to say what can and can't go in them. I think for us, the top five contaminants at the moment is things, sanitary wear and nappies.
Okay.
So they have to go in your black sack. We cannot recycle them at all, unfortunately. Food waste, obviously we've chatted about that. That goes in our brown bin. Small electricals. So we have a new service now for small electricals.
We have questions, but I will come back in a second.
We've got an important question.
Okay.
So that's a new service. So previously you could only go to the household waste recycling centres, the tips. But now we've implemented a new service where there are small recycling bins in every single library in Medway.
So can you not recycle anything that's electrical or with batteries in? So anything like TV remotes or hair straighteners?
Yeah. Not at the curbside.
At every library you can. Bins, yeah. Every single library. No appointment required. If it's got a plug, a wire or takes batteries, we will recycle that at the library. No problem. Excellent. No appointment required. Just turn up and drop it off, and we are more than happy.
So would you like some stats of how much we've collected?
Of course.
Yes,
please.
We love a stats. Stevie's like, don't say no.
So in terms of how much we've collected for recycling, we've collected 10,517 items since the 1st of November.
10,516, that's insane.
And that weighs in at 5.2 tonnes. And then donated, so we have a donation stream as well. So we've got big pink stickers that says for donation. If someone puts it on their still working item, we will then give it to Gillingham Street Angels to give to a family in need in Medway. And on the donation side, we've collected 287 items so far.
Wow.
And just shy of half a ton. So we're doing really well.
Wowzers.
And Raynham Library have the second biggest total.
Boom, boom.
Out of all 15 libraries. So well done, Raynham.
What is number one? Just
Gillingham.
So we know.
Gillingham Library.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay.
But they're doing great. That's good. Okay. Do you want to know our question?
Yes.
So our question is, not what you think, but our question is, why the cat on your Wii recycling?
Oh, the hypno cat.
Yeah.
What is the deal with that?
Is that very Medway Council, is it?
No.
It's a
it's from not Medway
Material
Council.
Focus. So they're the ones that have funded this project. So they're an independent, not-for-profit organisation. So that's their little baby.
I was like, who in
Medway
Council?
I suppose it stands out, doesn't it? Even my husband said to me, you should get a cat. I went, it is a cat.
So we spoke about it this week because Liz was like, we were talking about it on the radio shows then, we recycling. And I was like, what is we recycling? Like, I don't even know what that is.
Oh,
we
it's recycle- waste, electronic and electrical equipment.
We discovered, but we didn't know. I thought it was like recycling your Wii. And I thought that's a whole different
which we thought
conversation.
To the cat.
Then we thought that's why the cat's on there. And then we were like, now we understand what it means. Why the cat? And we were like, it just doesn't. And then we were talking literally for about 10 minutes about this cat, and I said, "Oh, it's kind of done the trick, though, isn't it?" Because we're sat here talking about their cat.
I want to meet the girl, and I want to find, or the girl, or the boy, who designed that and thought, "I tell you what, this product
this needs.
It needs a
cat.
Blue and pink cat.
I love it,
but it's stuck in your mind. Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's exactly it's done the job it's supposed to have
they're
done.
They're the winner, aren't they? Really? Yeah, here talking about it.
They are the winner.
But we can't take credit for the cat. I'm afraid that wasn't ours.
Damn it!
So if you could end by saying, like, this is what you want people to take away, because I guess even with like sitting and spending 20 minutes talking like this in depth, like, it can sometimes be a bit like overwhelming. Like, we talk about worms, we're talking about
cats,
we're talking about all sorts of stuff. So, like, if you was to say, like, this is what I want people to take away knowing in Medway, both of you can have your own separate thing unless it's the same. But although I guess your brains merge into one. Don't they?
Well, so
they
even our names merge into one. So we, Stevie and Julia, have become Stevia, which is a natural sweetener.
Oh my gosh, it is.
It is. So we are Team Stevia.
You are a natural sweetener.
You're in the wrong department, though. You need to be in
comms. Yeah. I'm just going to say. So what would you say is your, like...
So take the step to try. If you try and you succeed, then everyone's a winner. All of our bags are free to use. The service is free to use. Go onto the website. So go to medway.gov.uk/recycling. It will take you to the page to order the recycling bags. They will get delivered free to your home and you start using them. And the food waste for us. Food waste is the big thing.
And taking the food waste out of the
black sack, use your brown bin. And yeah, you'll see how much of a reduction in your black sack waste you will have. And it does make a big difference.
So you're basically saying, just don't wait to be perfect. No. Just the tools are all there that you need. Exactly. Just have a go, because none of us are perfect. Like, we have this argument in our house all the time that my husband still does not know which goes in which bin.
I have the same.
Like, it's so it's not.
And that's unacceptable, Stephen, from your perspective.
my 6-year-old... is better than my husband.
I mean, it's just, I don't want people to listen to it and think, oh, you know, they've got it sorted. No, our house is like completely not. We constantly are moving things from bin to bin. And that's a whole nother conversation around the production of the items that are being produced and all that sort of stuff. But what would you say is you want people to take away?
So my top tip would be to keep your top on. And I know what I mean by that is when you're recycling
the fun.
I know. When you're recycling plastics, put your top back on afterwards. Don't keep them separate. So lids, trigger sprays, pump sprays, we recycle plastics in their entirety. So keep your top on. We can recycle the whole lot. Don't put them in separate. The bottle lids are too small to be identified in the recycling process.
Oh my God.
It needs to be attached to the bottle.
I never knew that.
There you go. Either. Keep your top on, Kayleigh.
Now, there is a marketing plan for you there, Julia.
Well, I think
your
so.
Before and after.
Honestly, you are definitely in the wrong jobs, girls. Seriously. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us today. I want to tell you, because obviously I said earlier, I am a bit of a slow processor. Yesterday, I went to an amazing conference and I'm thinking about your binfluencer. Is that what you said that you're called?
Yeah.
There is an amazing company called Hello Lamppost. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they essentially can make inanimate objects talk.
Okay. Wow.
I know, right?
Okay.
So they can have, like, say, take a bin as an example. You can put a QR code on the bin. you're like, yeah, I know this already. Do you know this? Have you heard of these?
We've not heard of this. We love a QR code.
So we do love a QR code.
You do a QR code and you can text like, what can I put in this bin? Can I put this in my bin? Can I put this in my bin? And it literally, so I'm just thinking out loud here, for your white bags and blue bags, like if people are a little bit more confused, even beyond the pictures, because they might be, QR code, you can text, can I put this in my bin? Can I put this in my bin?
I like
what
that.
What a great idea, good, isn't it?
I mean, I just made up the blue bag and white bag thing, but they could do it on anything.
And that's the thing, technology changes all the time, particularly since the pandemic. I mean, nobody knew what QR code was pre-2020, I don't think. But since then, they're everywhere and they're really accessible.
It's quite common now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you see it and you're
even
like,
my mum uses QR codes without any problem at all now. So that's, you know, it's really, it's very impressive.
We use QR codes when you scan it, it then goes to our translated pages on the Medway Council website about waste and recycling.
Yeah, that's really good.
So we're trying to get the message to as many people as possible. So that is, I love that.
Thank you.
So good, isn't it? So there you go, lamppost people.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you. It has been so enjoyable. I've learned, as always, loads. And now more talking about the cat.
Yeah, offline talking about the cat, though.
Okay. See you later.
Thanks, guys. For seeing
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode of the Tread Lightly podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and maybe, like Hayley and myself, even picked up a new perspective along the way.
If you did, do not keep it to yourself. You need to give us a like, rate the podcast and share it with somebody who needs to hear it. And of course, follow us on all of our social media, which is hilarious because we are on LinkedIn, TikTok, oh my gosh, Facebook and Instagram. And you can also stay in the loop for more episodes and updates. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, keep treading lightly.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.